You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. Ian, it's been easy to kind of put two and two together for a long time and see the Red Sox and Phillies as a match on Cole Hamels. The Red Sox have money, the Red Sox have prospects, and the Red Sox have need for a starting pitcher, not just this year, but going forward. But, you know, when we look realistically, it does not seem like they've ever, at least recently, not since the spring, been one of the major players for Hamels. It does seem like they're not really in the hunt the way some other teams are right now. And the most recent reports indicate that that may be in part due to Hamels' no-trade protection and the Red Sox being one of the teams on there. So, first, is that your read that they're not really in play for him? And second, if not, how do they fill that need, which is not just a short-term need but a medium to long-term need?
Yeah, no, I think that the Red Sox and Phillies have talked quite a bit in the winter time, and the Phillies made it pretty obvious that it was either Mookie Betts or Blake Swihart, and that the package was going to be built around one of the two guys. And the Red Sox steadfastly said, "Look, these two guys, we're not going to trade these two guys." And I just think that they're waiting for the Phillies to come down off that. And you know, the way this thing has gone, and the Red Sox have fallen out of the pennant race, you know, some of these other teams are going to be more compelled, you know, come through with a big offer for Hamels. They're trying to win this year. So the Red Sox is more about next year and the year after. So, you know, for that reason, I think the Red Sox are a dark horse. The trade clause thing, the no trade thing, I always take that with a grain of salt, because look, people get stuff out there for leverage this time of year. I think that was probably leaked out, you know, to compel the Red Sox to maybe up their offer a little bit so the Phillies would take them more seriously. So, I don't think it would be the no trade thing as much as just, like I said, other teams who really want to win now, maybe paying, $1.50 on the dollar for Hamels instead of, a straight up deal.
So not to fast forward too much, because there is still more than 2 months of baseball to be played in the 2015 regular season, and stranger things have happened than this Red Sox team charging into the playoffs. I covered a stranger thing myself not that long ago, so it's not inconceivable. But with that said, let's fast forward a little to the winter. Does this mean that the Red Sox will likely be a serious bidder for one of these top free agent starters who presumably are going to hit the market this winter, David Price, Johnny Cueto? Does it seem likely that they will go in on one of those guys this offseason?
Yes, absolutely. The Red Sox have to go in on one of these guys. I mean, it's just they tried to piece it together this year. They didn't see the guy they wanted to replace John Lester this offseason, so they kind of said, we're going to piece together what we have, and that obviously hasn't worked very well. So I think in a place like Boston, where you have a high payroll, you have a huge demand to win, you have a very competitive ownership, you spent a lot of money on hitting last winter, I think you're going to have to make a big investment in a pitcher this winter, whether it's Cueto, whether it's Price, or whether they find a creative way to make a blockbuster trade, maybe for somebody else. But, yeah, absolutely, the Red Sox need to go out and make a substantial investment, at least by the winter meeting, in their in that starting rotation.
In the meantime, they have dealt Shane Victorino. Is Mike Napoli next? Is Koji Uehara next? I mean, do you anticipate seeing them parting with some other of these non-core pieces over the next couple of days?
Yeah, I'd be real surprised if they deal Koji, because, look, Koji's under a pretty affordable contract for next year. You know, I think the time that he signed that contract, we all raised our eyebrows and said, that's kind of a two-year deal for someone his age. Well, Koji's had a really solid year. And aside from spring training when he had the little hiccup with his leg and then his arm strength took a little while to kick in, he's been Koji pretty much this year. And, you're trying to add arms to your bullpen for next year, so I don't think you're going to subtract one like Koji, who you have under control. Mike Napoli is an interesting one. Yeah, I think that, that is a guy you could see moved in the next couple of days here. I mean, this is a guy who has a great history of postseason success, also a very streaky hitter who has come out and hit pretty well after the All-Star break, looks much more like himself. And next year you look at first base, the Red Sox might get creative where they have a Pablo Sandoval and you have a Hanley Ramirez. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys is your first baseman next season. So, yeah, I think that they'll see what they can get for Napoli, and I'd say more likely than not he'll be moved by Friday at 4 o'clock.
One of the things that comes from moving Victorino, it appears, is a full-time job or close to it for Ruznik Castillo. Ruznik Castillo didn't really hit at AAA, and so I wonder, are there any concerns here? I mean, you sort of noted a couple times, this guy has not set the world on fire. It's only a year. Things can change. They've got him for a long time, but it's not like they sent him down to AAA and he tore it up there and forced their hand. What do they think they have in Castillo a year in now?
Yeah, I think they still think he can be a pretty good player. Look, he did earlier in the year, before the Red Sox called him up the first time, he was hitting pretty well down there. And then he came back up. It didn't translate up here in Boston, and then he went back down to AAA. I think some guys honestly have a little bit of a letdown when they've been in the major leagues for a few weeks and then they have to go back down, especially a guy like Ruznay, who is 28 years old. He's not like some young kid. And the nagging injuries, there always seems to be a nagging injury with him. So he just needs to get healthy and have a 2 to 3. We haven't seen this guy in the lineup every day for 2 to 3 weeks. I think that's what we need to see for them really to know what they have. This is still a very long-term investment they've made in this guy. They've got him for another 5 years after this season. So by no means is anybody giving up on him, but also by no means do we know quite what he is yet.
Is he going to play pretty much every day from here to the end of the year so they can find out?
Yeah, I would think that Castillo will play the bulk of the time. There might be, right now they have Diaz, who's played okay. But I think once you hit that July 31st deadline, somebody like Diaz will probably get moved. And, I think Castillo's going to play the majority of the time right now. You have to give him a look. And I think that, right now Mookie Betts is on the DL, at least for a week with this concussion. You're also going to see Jackie Bradley. John Farrell came out and said today, look, Jackie Bradley's going to play center field every day while Mookie Betts is out. At the time with some of these guys where you just have to start to take stock and see what you have.
Yeah, you led into my next question and sort of answered my next question, actually, which is how does Bradley fit into this? Because, he is having a tremendous year at AAA. We know the defense. If this guy hits 70% in the majors of what he has at AAA, that's a good ball player.
Yeah, especially with his defense. And, Bradley just hasn't got, because of opportunity, the Red Sox came kind of overloaded in the outfield this year and had too many guys for too few spots. There hasn't been a lot of chances for him in the stints he's been up there. I think now, at least over this next week or two, you're going to get to see him every day and see if he can kind of get on that role at the major leagues and hit like he has in the minors in the past. So I think that the fans really like Jackie Bradley Jr., actually. They love defense here in Boston. So I think the fans would love to see him go out there and get on a little roll offensively. And he's a guy who can energize this team. Next year, like I said, if Hanley moves to the infield, maybe Bradley still factors into their future.
Yeah, that's sort of the question now is, can Bradley force this situation to be different? Can he play his way back into the Red Sox plans, or is the best-case scenario for him to play himself to a point where he is desirable to somebody else?
Yeah, I think we're sort of at the crossroads right now with Bradley, where, at the end of this year, really, you're going to know, look, the Red Sox are going forward with this guy, or he's going to go somewhere else. There's not going to be another year next year where Jackie Bradley's going up and down from the Red Sox, and you wonder, is he going to stick? Is he not going to stick? It's just it's going to be time to make a decision by then. So that's why these next few weeks, even if the Red Sox aren't in contention, we don't know if they're going to maybe climb their way back in, but there will be some storylines to watch, and certainly Bradley will definitely be one of those.
So as we talk about this team sorting out what it has for next year, and look, again, to reiterate, it is too early for this team to pack it in and just start thinking about 2016. It's way too early for that. But as we talk about these things, one of the guys that I wonder about, and I know you know exactly who I'm going to be asking about, is Joe Kelly. And look, I know he's not really even considered a full-fledged part of the rotation right now, but he keeps getting starts, and they've got guys that they like. They have one guy in particular that they like, and Brian Johnson in AAA. And so I wonder, at what point do they start really thinking about Joe Kelly as a reliever and start thinking about one of these guys at AAA, like Johnson, getting a longer look in the rotation?
Yeah, that's a great point, Matthew. And actually, John Farrell kind of alluded to this today, where he said, look, we're keeping the rotation on track right now. Joe Kelly will make his next start. But he said there's going to be a time the next week or two where we're going to want to get a look at a Brian Johnson. We're going to want to get a look at a Henry Owens, much the way they're getting a look at Jackie Bradley Jr. Right now. So, yeah, Kelly is going to go out there Saturday. And, if he has another one of these starts where it's like four and a third innings, you know, seven hits, five runs, four walks, and, 103 pitches, I think we've seen the last of him in the rotation. It's just the whole thing has just been getting a little, old for people to watch, and they just haven't seen them. He sends a AAA for a month, and that just didn't really do the good they were hoping for. So, yeah, I think you would see him transition to the bullpen. I'm sure he won't be happy about it, but, at the same time, he would have to admit that, he had a chance to alter the course and make it different. But, yeah, I do expect Joe Kelly to be in that bullpen in the near future.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.